I trust that you'll have your fingers ready to move throughout Scripture today. It's good to see the ARPs in the front this morning. It's almost startling. Anyways, I will say, it's a wonderful joy to how you folks, and I know that a number of you are involved in that whole process, but I continue to always rejoice in how you built this building. So there's even the people in the very back, I can still get at you, you know, that kind of stuff. That's just a joy. I apologize occasionally to the people on the very far side. I try to always make a note. I've got to say hello to the Olsons while I'm preaching up here every once in a while because they're almost out of my peripheral. And the same with usually the Kermots are up here. The other Olsons are up here this morning. I'm surrounded by the Olsons this morning. But anyways, I really appreciate God gave you folks a lot of good wisdom and putting this building together. Anyways, I rejoice in that. So ARPS, it's good. It's your fault. Anyways, it's good to have them all the way up front here this morning. That means we have a full house, and I appreciate that. So that's a real blessing. I wanted to take some time this morning to give, really, I guess if you want to give it a title to the message, is a biblical perspective from Hungary this morning. Things that the Lord has taught my heart. I think things that you and I need as a church family to be aware of. So I'm sure I will get to some preaching this morning, but there are some things that maybe we can, as a church family, be earnest in prayer about, things like that, that will be very helpful for us. I appreciate both Pastor Allen and my father stepping in while I was away to do some of the preaching. I heard some good reports. Thank you for being faithful. Attendance was good. Offerings were great. Thank you so much. That's an honor to your God, and I rejoice in that. That's just a real blessing. In Acts chapter 14, we find here that Paul is concluding his first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas. And in Acts chapter 14, obviously I didn't tell you the chapter, did I? Did I say 4? Okay. Acts chapter 14. My brain is still halfway between Hungary and here. So if I say something amiss this morning, forgive me. And I don't mind if you wave your hand at me and say, hey, what was that again? Anyway, okay. Acts chapter 14, verse 26. Paul at the end of his first missionary journey. It says this, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they were fulfilled. So what are they doing? They're coming back home to their home church, their sending church. It was the church in Syria, this is Syrian Antioch, that they had been sent out. They had served the Lord there for a number of years, or at least a good length of time, both Paul and Barnabas. And it was that church that sensed God's call on their life and sent them out on that first missionary journey. Gone for several years, we're not sure exactly the length of time there, but finally on their way home, and they come back, and what do? They sit down in verse 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. I use this verse really as a springboard this morning, as a biblical precedent or background or support for me to be able to take. I'm going to take the time this morning to give you a report on what God did for us in Hungary. Let me just real quick account, just give you a little travelogue, can I? Just so you can kind of place things, and then I'm going to talk about biblical principles. We flew in Monday. We left Monday, July 31st. So we flew essentially overnight, arriving there in their morning, which at that point was already getting into the, well, it was wee hours of the morning for us here, because they're ahead of us. And we hit the ground running. My brother-in-law, Micah Potter, who is the assistant pastor down in Marquette Manor Baptist Church, he had a group of 23, including himself, 23 people there that were on a mission trip. They were coming into Budapest the same day, so we spent the day Tuesday basically touring Budapest, seeing some of the sites. My father-in-law is an amazing history buff. When God called him to the mission work, and he's been in the field now for 18 years, he began to study and understand all the history of the nation of Hungary. He is probably a better tour guide than most Hungarians, in my opinion. So sharing really relevant stuff, but then relevant stuff for believers to know about the country. So we spent the day walking around. Darcy about died, because by the time we hit the bed that night, we'd been up for 38 hours. The flight over was fine, except there was a family in front of us with three children that didn't want to sleep when we were supposed to. Anyway, so I think I got a 15-minute nap in on the flight over. Anyway, so God gave us strength, and then through the rest of that week, Darcy handled it better than I did. I think the jet lag and so forth, I was kind of sick for a few days, not the best, but the Lord gave strength. Wednesday, we headed down to Pache, where Dr. and Mrs. Potter served the Lord. He's actually the pastor of the church there. They've been through some trials over the last number of years in that church. They had, several years ago, called a national pastor. Dad had trained him, worked well with him. The former missionary that was there before my father had kind of pushed it along, tried to get this man, I'll just use his first name, Bela, to become the pastor. Unfortunately, Bela struggled spiritually, and there was actually almost destroyed the church. And so through a time of trial and challenge there, Bela's an intelligent, very intelligent man, very strong-willed, and that doesn't go well if you're a pastor. That's not supposed to be that way. And so it took some time, and they have spent this last several years trying to recover from that. Bela is no longer the pastor. There still lives in the area, so there is still some contact with the church members with Bela, so that always provides a challenge a little bit. It was the beginning and part of this year, frankly, that the situation again came to a head, and the church, I think, finally came to some good resolution. Some felt like, you know, maybe we didn't handle it all right and all those kinds of things, and Bela continues to provide some seed thought, I think, for that. But the church realized we need to keep on going. It was after they had excused Bela that they asked my father-in-law, who was serving there. His intent to be on the field was a professor. He was a seminary professor before he went. His doctorates, you know, in New Testament studies, and that's his forte. That's what God has gifted him to do, is to be a teacher. So God thrust my father-in-law into a role that was a little beyond him, something that he didn't necessarily desire, but felt it was absolutely necessary for the rescue of that church in Page. And God has helped him and sustained him. And the church finally is at a point where I think that they can grow. And in fact, one of the clues was, as we were there that Wednesday night and I preached, my translator was a man who's been a dear friend. In fact, there was some spiritual connections with being saved and so forth under the ministry of Bela. His name is Arpi. Arpi was my translator. And when we were there 2 years ago, Arpi was gracious and kind to us. But when I was there this, you know, it would be a week and a half ago now, I could not believe that demonstrated change of character and heart in Arpi's life. And that rejoiced my heart to see him growing in the Lord, excited about the Lord. He's a single man in his, I think, mid-40s or so, just loving the Lord and serving the Lord well in the church. And that's exciting to see that. We spent a couple days, Thursday, Friday, with my in-laws. The heat was absolutely miserable. There's not a lot of air conditioning in Hungary. They live on the top floor of their building, which is just three floors. So we really almost became Latin American in our living. We would get up in the morning, try to get a few things done, and then the afternoon you just try to survive. They would literally close up their apartment to try to keep as much of the heat out as possible. But even in that, one afternoon it was 88 degrees inside the apartment. And you try to have a fan going just to move air. So we took our siestas in the afternoons, and then did some things in the evening as well. Darcy had the opportunity to go with Mom to visit a lady who is struggling with cancer. She just recently had brain surgery, and there's some spiritual needs in her life. Some of that cancer originally is probably as a result of some of her sinful habits in her life. So trying to minister to her husband, this lady and her husband are the parents of Zoli Kish. Zoli, who's been here, all right? Zoli's been here, and he's the national pastor in Budapest. So that was a blessing for that ministry. I had the opportunity then the following week to visit with Zoli's father, trying to help him. It was finally an opening. Hungarians, in many ways, are socially very close. They keep everything close to their close at hand. They don't open up to you right away. You have to earn their respect and honor and so forth before they'll open up. And so Zoli Senior, can I put it that way, the father, has been somewhat closed about what's going on in his heart and mind, dealing with his wife's cancers and so forth. Dad thought that it would be appropriate for me to come by and try to be an encouragement. And the Lord, I think, orchestrated a unique opportunity for me to share and as well to minister to his heart. Felt like it was spiritually beneficial and encouraging to him as well. So that was kind of a blessing. Sunday, a week ago today, we were in Page for the morning service. I preached to the teens in Sunday school and I taught to the teen class, which was fun for me again, all the way from a young lady in the class. There was only three in the class. Young lady in the class who has a heart for the Lord, wants to do right. And her brother, who is just or beyond junior high age, a typical junior higher. So he's got that kind of sense about him. He doesn't, you know, just let's live today and that's it. And then another kid in the class who was clearly almost rebellious. And the reminder of my days as a youth pastor for many years, trying to share the gospel a little bit and share scripture with them that would be relevant to their life. And a young man that was translating for me is a young man who wants to, his name is Bela as well, a different Bela. He wants to go into ministry. He's done with much of his education at this point. He's in his mid to upper 20s. And good potential for maybe one day being a pastor there in the country. He's unmarried though, and that probably will hinder him in the to be a pastor. So we need to pray for Bela that the Lord provide just the right wife for him as well. In the morning service, Bela is well translated for me as well. He's got a good handle on both English and of course Hungarian. And God gave grace. I felt like it was just a profitable morning service. Their attendance was down. August is the month when everybody leaves town. They have essentially almost an entire month where they're on vacation, and they go to the lake. There is, if you would look at the map of Hungary, there is this massive lake. We would understand it in the Great Lakes area. It's quite a long lake, a long, somewhat narrow lake, and they all go down to the lake because it's hot and miserable, and they go down there and they have their lake homes or places that they stay with family in the area and so forth. So attendance was down, but Lord gave us some sweet spirit on that day. Took off in the afternoon real quick and went to Nazkinesia to visit our missionary, the Olas. it's always fun, you know, you're traveling on the bus and no one speaks English, and getting down there, it's like, okay, I'm sure this is the right stop. You know, we counted the stops, made sure we're at the right place, and it looks like there's some signs for Nazkinesia and so forth. But we get off the bus, grab our luggage, and no one's there. And the service was to start in 20 minutes. For a moment I was thinking, am I just going to be sitting at the bus station until they get done with their service and come pick me up, even though I'm supposed to be the speaker for the service that night? No! So I was on the phone with trying to figure out how to best. I can't call them directly because that would cost me a gazillion dollars. But I could call Abby, who could email Yoli, all right. That's the Yolanda, all right. You know, Zoli or Gideon and Yoli, get Ola, all right. And anyways, as I just got off the phone with her, all of a sudden here comes Yoli around the corner. And it's like, okay, well, let's get going to church. So we arrive there, run in, and Gideon is all fired up and excited, and the service starts a few minutes late. But then we're involved in helping them, and as you remember, the Frews, Mike and Sarah Frew, who have been with us a couple times, Mike was the one that did our organ dedication concert, all right? So they're serving alongside the Olas there. They've been in the country for 2 years. Sarah is expecting, right? She's expecting, and she's quite sick. So they are actually both in their upper 30s, approaching 40. So we just need to be praying for Sarah, that the Lord watch over this pregnancy and so forth. So Sarah was not there. Mike is playing the piano, you know, he can do it so effortlessly. And then Gideon has us help with some of the special music. And then Yoli, all right, Mrs. Ola, actually does the translation for me. Their son David is there. Now, David has been going to Baptist College of Ministry, graduated, is planning to go back. He's planning to minister this fall with the War of Special Forces. It's a teen outreach type ministry with evangelist Jim Van Gildren. And he's there, and he's leading some of the music. And yet, I was expecting that he would be the one to translate for me. Well, I found out later, he says, I've lost some of my ability to go between the languages. I've been in America so long. It's like the English is real clear, and I can speak in Hungarian, but to make the transition is really difficult. And I kind of made a note of that. That's interesting to pay attention to that. After the service that evening, and we shared the Lord's Supper together, which was just a real special blessing to my heart. Their way of administering it is slightly different of what they do. The different part is that they actually take it looks like a miniature taco shell essentially, and they take the time to break it in front of everyone. As an American, forgive my sinfulness here. I'm thinking Gideon is putting his germs on every one of those pieces of bread. I ate it anyways. I don't think I got sick. But anyways, I hope he washed it anyways. Okay. But what a unique, the spiritual side is that's unique to see that the breaking of the bread is a symbol picture of the broken body of Christ. And that's the unique part of it. And they spend time just taking the time to do that and sharing the elements and so forth. That was just a real special unity here. I'm fellowshipping in Christ with brothers and sisters that I don't know real well, and yet they're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have one Savior that we rejoice in, and that was a special blessing. After the evening service, had the opportunity to talk with Mike Frew then for actually a good length of time. Felt like, again, the Lord had put us there at just the right time. Mike, in my opinion, is struggling with the realities of culture shock, even though it's 2 years in. His language acquisition is good. I mean, others would say he's doing really well, but I think he's highly discouraged about it. Hungarian is one of the most difficult languages to learn in the world. If you look at language charts and where they all come out of, Hungarian kind of like stands in its own little blob over here. That and Finnish are these two languages that are not connected to anything. So it's very difficult, very technical language. You can have words literally like this long because of all the different endings that you put on depending on where it's used in the sentence and all those kinds of things. My father-in-law, while we were on one of the calls, it was interesting. Afterwards, I said, "Dad, were you correcting?" Because I could hear the same word but with a different ending on it. He says, "Yeah, I made a mistake grammatically." He's been there for 18 years. So we need to pray for Mike and Sarah. I do not sense in their heart a lack of commitment to be there. They feel like God has called them there. They are planning in their second term, so they'll be in Nagy Kanizsa for 2 more years, coming home on furlough, and then going back. And their plans still are to plant a church probably in the Budapest area. There's need for many churches in that area. But we need to pray for him. And so, again, in answer to your prayers and my own prayers, the Lord has seemed to put us right at the right place at the right time. After last Sunday, we went back, spent some time with the Olas on Monday, and then went back up to down to Page, I'm sorry, and spent just another day with Mom and Dad Potter, actually touring the city of Page as well, giving Darcy an opportunity to kind of see where they live and serve and so forth. And I got to see a few new things that I hadn't seen before. And then we headed up to Budapest to be with Zoli. Zoli had a special service for us. What they do between the three missionaries there is they have their midweek service. Zoli has his service in Budapest on Tuesday night. Dad has his midweek service on Wednesday night. And then Gideon has his midweek service on Thursday night. So if one of them are gone or out of town, they can help cover for each other, which is, I think, a really smart, very practical thing to do on the mission field in helping see those services accomplished. Zoli had gone ahead and had his normal Tuesday night midweek service, so it was a special service. I was concerned, wondering how many are going to show up. There was only three that showed up. Of course, it's a new church plant. What was unique about that opportunity with Zoli was that there is a young man, a young couple that just began coming to the church within the last couple months or so. He is a lawyer in Hungary. Committed believer. He's grown up knowing the Lord, comes from another Baptist ministry, a little different than ours in some of its peculiarities, but loves the Lord, wants to serve the Lord. The couple has only been married for 3 months. She's national Hungarian, actually, but grew up in Romania. If any of you know a little bit of the history there, Transylvania, which is a part of Romania, it was originally part of Hungary. And so there's a huge Hungarian population in Romania now after World War I and II. Some of those lands were taken away from Hungary. So she grew up speaking Hungarian, but then learned to speak English and Romanian by watching English TV, American TV, with Romanian subtitles. How do you like that? So that's how she started. She's an English teacher by profession. She actually, so her English was impeccable. It was fun to talk with them and to be able to communicate really in what you could call your heart language, and know that you're communicating well. One of the challenges of communicating across the language barrier is there's a barrier. And it's hard for you to communicate your heart and mind and soul. Gideon was absolutely almost laughing at me at times because I was using some American idioms in their home. And he said, "What?" He didn't know it. And it's for us, you would probably laugh at me too. But you know me well enough, and you know you've grown up here. And so those words are not uncommon to you. They are uncommon in other places. And so that communication barrier sometimes is really evident. You feel like, am I really getting to the truth and to the heart issue? So it was a joy to talk to this lawyer and his wife. They're expecting in February. The warmth and the excitement of newly married was all over them. It was just a delight to be around them. It was just fun. Happily married and loving the Lord together, that's just neat. So let's pray that the Lord will use that couple in particular. I told Zoli later, I said, Zoli, the Lord has gifted you with that couple for a church plant to have a stable, faithful family in the church. And he says, yeah, I know. So, and that's a blessing. And then obviously we flew home. Of all things, on the way home, we were spoiled rotten. The lady in Budapest, the check-in ladies were checking in. I think my guess is, well, I found out from Bill yesterday, Lufthansa is one of the, it's like the number one airline. That's because of their customer service. And I'd say amen to that. If you want to fly anywhere, fly Lufthansa. Anyways, that was an advertisement. I'm sorry. Anyways, they upgraded us to business class. Now, we were flying on a 747 over the pond, over the Atlantic. So it's a huge, massive plane. And so there's first class and then there's business class. But we are spoiled rotten. The seat goes all the way down to a bed. They put a tablecloth on your tray to serve you the meals. You can have as much as you want to drink anytime. You just push the button and they come running. So anyways, we had a fun. And that was actually just a real blessing. I got off the plane and I didn't feel like I was all kinked up, you know, and hurting in the back and all that kind of stuff. So that was just a kind of special little treat the Lord gave us. And it was actually probably of the Lord, because the time in Frankfurt that we had, the layover in Frankfurt, was very short. Had that not happened, we probably wouldn't have had our luggage in time and all that, because the plane was late landing in Frankfurt. I told the family, I said, I've never seen Darcy run so well in her life, as we're really literally running through the airport to get to the gate in time and so forth. So that was a blessing. Okay, there's the travel log. Now, what did I learn, and what are things that you and I think need to pay attention to? Because I've been in Hungary before, because the Lord has allowed in my life as a pastor to minister to numerous missionaries on their field of service, I sense that the Lord allowed me this trip in particular to have some insights that I probably would not have caught had I not had those opportunities in the past, to be able to interact and now be able to begin to understand what missionaries face and go through, what the work of ministry goes on. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Let's turn there, and I want us to go there. One of the things that struck me on this trip, and the things that really in many ways, if I could say, breaks my heart, and things that I think you and I as a church family need to pray about. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. A verse that many of you would know, and it's been quoted many times by many people, unfortunately, often not quoted and interpreted properly. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Several years ago, when we were walking through the book of Proverbs in a study in the Proverbs, we stopped and parked on this verse. I wanted to explain it because it's a verse that's well known and yet often wrongly interpreted. Often that word vision, we think of it in our English 20th century, 21st century understanding. Oh, I need to have a goal. I need to have a plan in life. If there's no planning ahead, then life will fall apart. We'll perish. All right. Actually, the proof is very clear in the second half of the verse. Remember, in Hebrew poetry, often there's a parallel that goes on, and that parallel sometimes can be a contrast, and that's what's going on in this verse. The second half of the verse makes it abundantly clear that he that keepeth the law, God's word, he's blessed. That's the word happy there. He's blessed. What God is saying in that first part of the verse is that there exists a direct connection between God's revelation, vision. All right, there we go. There's a direct connection between God's revelation and morality. You see, where people do not obey God's revelation, they will perish. They will lose restraint and discipline. And the end of that road is, the wages of sin is death. Yet, if one is willing, the end of this verse, Proverbs 29:18, if one is willing to follow and obey God's law, he will be blessed. And that is a rich, even in the Hebrew language, a rich term talking about experiencing God's great grace, I saw in stark reality in Hungary the degradation of a culture that does not obey God's law. Now, they lived under years of communist persecution as well. I understand that. And yet, you think that morality is bad here in the States, and if you've traveled overseas, it's almost worse everywhere. The nudity that's just commonplace in Hungary is shameful. It's despicable, and it's just accepted. There is a society that has no restraint and no discipline. They have lost their spiritual moral bearing, God's Word. Thus, it behooves the missionary that loves the Lord to, without shame, to proclaim the morality of God's Word. Believer, don't ever be upset when your Sunday school teacher or your pastor steps on your toes when it deals with biblical discipline and restraint. Because where there is no biblical discipline and restraint in one's life, it will ultimately end in death. The destruction of the soul. So, what grieved my heart was that this verse among some of the believers was thrown out at me as saying, oh, you know, we need to do a lot of planning and preparation. There has been a tendency from some of the education and teaching that some of the missionaries have received that God is honored, it seems, or He likes us to be extremely hyper-busy. Working and serving the Lord. Be busy about serving the Lord. Now, are we to give our whole life to the Lord? What's the answer, Christian? Yes, that's right. Absolutely. My whole life is owned by the Lord. All of it. And yet, God in His wisdom understands and knows our frailty. And there needs to be biblical balance. You see, what's most important to God, first and foremost, is what's going on in my heart and my relationship with Him. And my service for the Lord is not something that somehow brings extra blessing to the Lord, my visions and plans. No, what is it required of stewards? That a man be found, say it, faithful. The work of missionary work is a work that's long-term, and it usually doesn't happen overnight. A story was related to me while I was there about a ministry that's starting all kinds of churches in Cameroon. They're seeing these churches started in the villages, and it's just amazing. And when I hear that, I'm just generally a little cautious. Do I want to see God work in a revival fashion where a multitude would come to the Lord? Absolutely would I. But I also don't want to see false professions, and I also don't want to just see notches on my spiritual gun saying I'm doing something great for God because I'm busy. And so to see Scripture somewhat misinterpreted and misapplied hurt my heart. God's Word is uniquely adaptable for life and ministry, and it needs to be applied in every scenario and culture. May God help us to be rightly dividing the word of truth and living it out properly in our life. And I'm sharing a little bit of heart stuff with you today, but I think it's a proper thing. Let's pray that our missionaries, in particular the ones that we support, the OLAs, don't burn themselves out for the Lord. They need to at times stop and take some rest. And let us as a church family, and let me tell you, here's a little bit of the pressure that our system and the way that we've worked out the biblical principles and how to support missionaries and so forth works. Generally, missionary sends us prayer letters, don't they? Well, and that prayer letter is supposed to contain a report on what God is doing there. Souls being saved, people being discipled. Now, are all those good things? Absolutely. But stop and consider what I might do as a pastor if I sent out the letter to my missionaries and told them what God is doing here at Heritage Baptist Church. Well, there frankly are some months that go by that we don't see a soul come to Christ, do we? Now, I hope that's not because I've done something or we've done something wrong or we've failed to be the witness we're supposed to be. And I would be able to, I think, by observation, say, no, there are many of us that are striving to faithfully share the Word of God. Be the witness we're supposed to be. But no one's gotten saved. Well, a missionary feels this pressure. If I'm not producing, the churches back home will get discouraged with us and think we're not doing anything for the Lord. So there is a tendency to want to fill life with many activities so it looks good on the report. I'm not saying that that's why the Olas are doing it. They have a heart that's just passionate for their Lord, and they want to be busy. Let's pray that God would give them good balance and strength. We don't want to lose them. They are, in my opinion, critical to the work of the ministry in Hungary. They are Hungarians that know the culture, the language. That's their home. They can communicate truth far better than any American missionary could ever communicate. And so that's really important to think about that. Let's go 2 Peter, let's run there real quick. 2 Peter chapter 1. And a verse that you know is one of my favorites. And yet again, I want us to look at it. 2 Peter chapter 1. Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter. And let's start in verse number 2. 2 Peter 1, verse number 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus, and Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Where do we know about the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Christ in particular, and the wonderful great promise that God has given us? Promises. Well, we find them in God's Word, do we not? As if we would take the time to run through this whole first chapter, you would see that Peter's reference here is talking about God's revelation to us, that God has revealed to us all that we need for life and for godliness. It's found in God's Word. You see, God's Word is uniquely adaptable. It gives us parameters, and what I call directional gives us guidance for life in any culture at any time. Now, this is powerful. If I rightly divide the word of truth, it can apply to every setting in this life at this time. There is no culture or setting that God's word, they would say, that doesn't work here. No, by God's grace works in every culture, in every time and place. So we are doing the right thing by encouraging our missionaries to preach and teach God's Word, to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help them take the truth and then apply it to their culture and their setting. As I preach God's Word in different countries, often I try to make application like I do in America, but there are times where I know it's like going right over their head. Their culture is slightly different. And that's where the missionary can become very critical as they begin to understand the culture. So my father-in-law, for instance, becoming a student of Hungarian history and Hungarian culture, I came home with two books in my hand, both of them recommended by my mother and father-in-law, and saying, if you want to know how Hungarians think, read these books. Now, they're both, one's in historical fiction, the other one's just a fiction based back on a story back in the 1920s. But he said, if this will help you understand how Hungarians think. Well, he's learned that. And now he can take the Word of God and apply all the truths of the Word of God to their culture and setting. Let us pray that our missionaries do it faithfully, do it wisely and well, so that their culture will begin to be permeated with truth. You see, without a vision, the people perish. Where the Word of God does not go, people perish. May God help us to continue to support missions. Now, point number or whatever it is, if you're taking notes, all right? And I'm going to run through some of these at this point now. Churches need pastors. And specifically in certain countries, churches need national pastors. In Acts chapter 14, turn with me there. Acts chapter 14. Back to where we kind of started, just some verses ahead. Acts chapter 14. As Paul, again, and Barnabas are concluding their first missionary journey, how do they essentially start or establish the churches? They've done the starting work. But how did they make sure that those churches were continuing? They didn't call them Bible studies. What did they do? Chapter 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to these towns that they'd already been, to Lystra, to Iconium, to Antioch. Notice, confirming the souls of the disciples, all right? So they were helping them solidify them in the truth, exhorting them to continue in the faith, all right? Be faithful to the things we've taught you, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had, key element here, when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. It has been God's design from the beginning of the church age, and in fact, it's unique that God in every dispensation sets up biblical human authority to keep His people walking with Him. The Old Testament law, who was it? The priests. They had a unique split when they had then kings on the throne. They had both a civil leader who was supposed to walk with God, who had his own copy of the Word of God, and then they had the priests leading in the worship of God. What has God given churches today to lead? Specifically, He's given them pastors, elders, as it says here in this verse, to lead the flock. You see, the churches there in Hungary need pastors. I rejoice that Zoli Kish, the young man that's with us, that has been with us, is there striving to start a church in Budapest. Now, Zoli's young in many ways, still growing in the Lord, learning much. But by God's grace, he will be able to shepherd a flock of Hungarians. And all the cross-cultural stuff that takes place even in Hungary. Because he understands and knows them and can take God's word and rightly train and develop those people. Pray for the church in Page that my father-in-law currently pastors. He knows his limitations. He understands. It's very interesting to see. Though the people love them, love their ministry to them, Mom and Dad Potter, it's very clear that they're waiting for a national pastor. And I think that that's not wrong. I think that that's okay. But we must pray that God would put the right man there. That church was almost destroyed because a man came in, was put into place, and then it became evident that his heart was not close to the Lord as it should be. And it almost destroyed a church. May God help us to encourage and help our missionaries to do the right thing. And sometimes that takes plenty of patience. Let us not be over anxious to have the missionaries thrust the national in. Another thought, and this goes along with that point. Pastors need education that is both sound and ultimately, actually, that education is best within its culture and within the finances of the young man or the older man being trained for the ministry. Don't turn there. I'll quote the verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He says in verse 2 that faithful men ought to train other faithful men. Timothy, Paul said, commit thou to other faithful men the words that you've heard from faithful men. You see, there is a real important truth, and I've alluded to it already. There is, in this day and age, much wrong teaching out there about the Scriptures. And guess what? We have the internet. It's available around the world. It's amazing how all these countries that they may not be able to make a phone call, but they can get on the internet. And with the internet comes with all kinds of crazy teaching. We need to be careful to make sure, and in fact, we've done it here as we've tried to help Pastor Allen grow. I appreciate a church family that encourages me to continue my education. But it's not simply the education, it's where I'm getting it, from whom I'm getting it, faithful men. I do not usually do advertisements. I will say this today, I am very grateful for the godly men that I've sat under at Maranatha. And you know that I have the opportunity and privilege of serving there right now on one of the boards. You pray that our influence as a church family, because you have influence on me and I influence them, that we would help that institution, and it's just an institution, it's not a church, but help that institution stay faithful to the Word of God so that the teaching that our young people receive at that institution in particular, it's in our backyard, would always be sound and biblical, would not go off the path. If ever that would happen, you help me, and by God's grace I would never fail at it, that I would step away from that ministry. I've had to do it in other educational ministries and pull away because they've gone off the path. It is so important for even those national pastors over there. One of the reasons that Dad Potter went to that field was to help train the nationals. In their setting, in their culture, and where it was financially viable. That illustration that I shared with you, David Ola coming back here to the States and getting his training, and he's lost a part of his Hungarianism, right? Now, if God, and it seems as though God is planning on using him back, and I'm sure that will be reincorporated, but on the other hand, I fear that if he would become too American. We want him to be godly, we want him to grow, we want him to understand Scripture well and rightly, but he doesn't need to be necessarily bringing Americanism back to Hungary. He needs to be bringing God's Word faithfully back and applying it right to that culture. Let us be careful that we do everything we can to help, whether it's Pastor Allen or if God would give us opportunity to bring another assistant on in the years ahead, that we help that man have sound education, that he will grow in the Lord and be faithful to God's Word always. Thirdly, it's in my notes, thirdly at least, the home, we're talking about mom and dad and the kids. The home is critical to the spiritual well-being and development of the next generation. I saw, it seems, on this trip in most stark reality, many old habits and ways of thinking are hard to break. We are in those churches in Hungary dealing with first-generation believers still. There are some second-generation now coming up. And my application really is for us here today. We can't directly, and we can support the missionaries, but believer, let us never downplay or dismiss how critical the home is, and God understands this, to the spiritual well-being of our own church family. Moms and dads here today, I don't think I could ever overemphasize the value of what you do spiritually in the home. I had a father in Hungary come to me one evening and say, you know, I think I failed. I think I failed my kids some. And I had to try to encourage him a little bit. There's nothing we can do about the past, but let's start doing things right now. And so we began talking about, simply about family devotions. A time where you sit down together and spend time around God's Word. It doesn't have to be fancy. You don't have to, in fact, there are times in my home, family devotions ends up just being a discussion. We start with sometimes, what's going on tomorrow? Trying to get our schedules all put together. But then as we open whether a devotional book or the Scriptures and then begin discussing some things, it leads to questions. Leads to spiritual training. That ought to be a part of every godly home here. Fathers, Ephesians 6:4, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't frustrate your children. Don't set up, and there's all kinds of ways you can frustrate them, but bottom line is, the greatest way you can frustrate your children, dads, is by not being the biblical spiritual dad that you're supposed to be. Children actually long for you, dads, to discipline them when they do wrong. It's part of their nature. It's God's wired them that way. And they also know that there's some, they just know in their heart that dad should be showing me how to live. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If our homes fail our children, our church is doomed. I cannot preach enough messages on Sunday, and the Sunday school teachers can't teach enough lessons on Sunday to fight against this world and Satan. We need our homes. And I saw in just living color children over there in Hungary, so our missionaries' kids, they have no choice. They have to go to the Hungarian schools. It's law. Well, you think our public schools are bad as far as the cultural pressure to sin against God, to get involved in premarital sex and all those things. It's just commonplace there. Everyone does it. And they're mocked when they try to be modest in their apparel and try to live for God. The pressure is absolutely immense. And the only thing that can redeem that is the home. O believer, may we be faithful in our own home setting to be, let God be first and bring people, children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We can be quick to help our kids learn how to play a game, sports, practice their musical instruments, and we'll spend hours doing those kinds of things. Opportunities for them to get involved in all kinds of fun, good, nothing wrong activities. And yet we don't take time to teach them God's Word. Shame on us. Shame on us. Grandparents that are here today, help your children and grandchildren to know the Lord, to love the Lord. Don't hide God in your home. Let Him be preeminent, not put away. Number four, culture shock and language acquisition is real and often difficult. And I've already shared you the testimony of Mike. We're in Acts chapter 14. I want you to see some verses here. As I was studying, preparing for this morning, that the Lord, I think, directed my steps in understanding, and I hadn't seen it this way before in the passage. Acts chapter 14, verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, Paul steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people, so Paul now is in a different town. He is ministering in a place and location that he's not ministered before. Though the language barrier was not there, they had a common trade language, Greek, Koine Greek at that time, so he could communicate well, and yet he was in a different setting. Keep on going. When the people saw, verse 11, what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices saying in the speech of Lyconia, Paul doesn't understand this. The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. So they're aligning Paul and Barnabas with some of the Greek pantheon of gods. And yet, Paul and Barnabas aren't figuring out what's going on because they're speaking in a language that they don't know. This is a problem. Then the priests of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates. Now, what they're going to do here is offer sacrifices to their gods because Paul and Barnabas are there. And would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they finally figure out what's going on. They rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying and saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men. We're not gods. We are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left himself not without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And they, with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. We know in just a moment, though, their hearts were turned and they actually stoned Paul to death. You see, the differences in culture can lead to some pretty major communication errors and actually can lead to wounded hearts and a rejection of the gospel. Let us pray for our missionaries. This is a prayer request that we must pray, that the Lord would give them unusual wisdom to communicate the truth of God's Word in the culture and language that is understood by the people. And that God would give them wisdom when something's not connecting, that the Spirit of God would take the Word of God and that the missionary would be able to catch and not create difficulties. Unfortunately, I've heard several stories of missionaries who unwittingly did something culturally terribly wrong and it hurt their ministry. Let's pray for Brother Mike and Sarah in particular. They are going through a deep, dark struggle. There's that sense that he's all alone. And that's not a pleasant experience. Let's pray for them that God would give them grace and that God would help them to acquire the language well. Another one of our missionaries, Ruth, and I just know it some because we've talked about it and she shared it in her prayer letter. Remember the lady that she shared in her last prayer letter in the marketplace that she has been witnessing to, and the lady doesn't know English. Now, in Philippines, English is the trade language, so you can go there and serve and generally communicate with almost everybody, but this lady only knows Tagalog, And Ruth has been working hard because God has called her there to learn the language. Well, she's rejoicing because every form of communication with this lady has only been in Tagalog. She's rejoicing, yet she's nervous at the same time because she doesn't want to say it wrong. Let's pray for our missionaries. This is not a small thing. We forget because they come back and preach to us in English and we forget. And then we think it's cool if they say a word in their language. But believe me, I've been in enough foreign countries and you feel very, very lost when you don't speak their language. Oh, they're gracious and kind to you. But I am limited in my communication, so let's pray. And finally tonight, and I'll be done. Modern missionary work, like in Paul's day, demands both our best and our godliest servants to serve in that position. There was a time in our American history, and it really stems all the way shortly after World War II, where faith missions, and this is I'm talking about in the broad circle of evangelicalism, faith missions was the thrust. Of course, we heard of the whole Aka Indian story and the men who lost their lives in trying to share the gospel, and that spurred us on with great stories of sacrifice for the Lord. And at times, people went into missions based on passion and emotion rather than wisdom. I don't think we cannot miss this, believer. And this is not discriminatory, this is wisdom, right? So pay attention. One of the greatest servants of the Lord in the New Testament was also one of the most educated, wisest man that walked the face of the earth. Not Christ, all right? It was Paul. And God called him to the work of mission work. Why didn't God call Peter? Well, God had plans for Peter, and he would reach the Jews, his own people. Peter was not as educated as Paul. Could that be part of it? Stop and think of one of the greatest leaders in the Old Testament. In fact, the one who recorded the law for them, Moses. He had been brought up in the highest education of his day in the land of Egypt. You see, mission work is so demanding that we, as we encourage our young people to consider it, we also need to encourage them to grow immensely. Mission work takes the best. It takes the godliest because they will be tempted and tried in ways that we can't hardly even fathom in our own culture and setting. I rejoice in the missionaries that we support here. Some haven't had maybe all the great education, but God has put their call on their life, and I sense that our missionaries are some of the best, and they're working hard. It's a joy to me to talk to some of our missionaries who just maybe have a normal degree, and yet I find out that they are doing all they can to understand and continue to learn. The letters behind their name isn't what a good education is. That's only part of the puzzle, if I can put it that way. Are they exacting students of God's Word? And then as God puts them in a specific location, do they become passionate students of the people that they serve? Maybe you've never thought about this, but folks, God has given me, as your pastor, a job to do, and some of it is to learn you well. Why? So I can give you God's Word that will apply to your life just right. So that I can take and be effective in giving the truth out in a way that you'll receive it and accept it. If I don't understand you, I won't be able to make that connection. God's Spirit won't be able to help me. Imagine how much that is when you go across a different culture. Let us pray that God would thrust into mission work not just people that have some passion, but then fizzle out. And I know of missions that has happened to. My heart breaks over that. But actually those who with endurance, experience, and good biblical education go to do a work that will require a lifetime of ministry. As we conclude today, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. verses that we already referred to earlier. Verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Now, notice these verses. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Know that man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." What an amazing description even of missionary work. "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he do it lawfully within the parameters of Scripture. Husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. Consider what I say." Let's think about it, he says. "And the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Remember, verse 8, "that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure." You see, because God's word is not bound, it can reach in every culture at every time. What is required of that missionary? This amazing, powerful, hard word, endurance. "Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake," Paul says. For those who will come to know Christ, the missionary will endure amazing challenges. It doesn't take someone with a weak backbone. It takes someone who is strong, like a soldier, who labors like a farmer, who runs according to the rules like an athlete that we already saw in the passage ahead. "So he endures all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." May we encourage people to give their life to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will take endurance, experience, and education. It will take a lifetime of ministry and service to the Lord. May we faithfully pray for our missionaries who said, "I will. I'll give my life to serve the Lord in a place that I'm always a foreigner. I'll never be fully accepted. And yet God's word is more important to me. The sharing of it, the reaching of souls for Christ, the establishment of local churches where the gospel can continue to be a lighthouse in a community and a nation. May we be a church that helps our young people, that supports our missionaries, so that they can be faithful and endure until God calls us home. The work of modern missions today is not easy. It's difficult. And I only saw one place, and that's all. I'm moved by that. Having been in numerous places, I can say that some of these principles apply even in those areas. Believer, for us today here at home, continue to always encourage your pastors to grow in the Lord and learn sound doctrine. They need that so that they can lead you well and rightly. May each of us have godly homes where the Word of God is held high, taught faithfully and consistently. And may we, in faithful, regular prayer, uphold our missionaries who face culture shock, a language that's unknown to them, and a work that will require a lifetime of them for the glory of God and the expansion of the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today and some things that we can learn from it. Thank you for the value of the gospel and that it is worth giving our life for. I think particular of our missionaries today that we support in the land of Hungary, the Olas. Lord, would you give them endurance and give them wisdom? Lord, help them to continue to grow in their understanding of truth and Scripture so that they can minister as pastors and evangelists well there. Lord, we would pray that in the days ahead that there would be an amazing harvest of souls, even if it would please you, in a land that is desperately in need of the truth of the gospel and the light of the gospel. Lord, and those missionaries that, though we don't directly support, we know of as a church family, we pray for Mike and Sarah Frew. Lord, would you help them right now? Sarah's sick. Mike's discouraged. Would your grace be sufficient for them, Lord? I know it is. May you encourage them in ways that we can't even fully understand, but that you can help them. We pray for Dr. and Mrs. Potter, as they really are looking to come to the end of their missionary service. Lord, would you provide the right man to pastor that church, a man that would be faithful to you, that would love your word, that would be well-trained, that church would not fall apart again. Then we pray for young Zoli. Young, I realize he's 30-some, but still young in ministry and service, and as he's striving to plant a church in Budapest. Lord, I know, as I observe and watch, there's things for him to grow and learn yet. There was much for all of us to learn when we were that age. Lord, would you train him well and grow him well, and may that church prosper. Thank you for all the amazing provisions you provided for them. Thank you for that young couple that's become a part of their church. Oh, please help that ministry to prosper and grow, to be a lighthouse in that dark land as well. Lord, may we be the type of church here in America that we ought to be. And so for us, Lord, I pray for Pastor Allen and myself in particular. May we always be faithful to your word, and may we continue to grow in our understanding of it. Not coming up with some new doctrine, new way, not compromising the truth or twisting it, but upholding it and being able to clearly teach it. I pray as a church family we would be faithful in supporting our missionaries. They desperately need us. Our prayer, our finances, our letters and words of encouragement, may we not neglect that deep responsibility we have. And Lord, would you give us as a church family continued opportunity to help the gospel prosper around the world. Then we pray finally for our homes. As a pastor, Father, my heart is burdened. I got to see in living color some of the tragedies of homes that haven't been centered around the Word of God. Oh Lord, may that not be the testimony of our families here. Lord, would you help our men in particular, as they lead their homes, to lead them right. Give them good balance. May they not lead their homes in the flesh. May they not let their children walk in the flesh, but in love and wonderful nurturing and admonition. Lord, they may fail at producing a good athlete or a great accountant. And in some respects, that's okay. May they not fail at helping their children be godly, good Christians. And so help us. We need your help. We know that we can't do it on our own. Make our homes today grow in Christ. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking about. Maybe today, believer, we'll start with where I ended. You'd say, Pastor, would you pray? God's worked in my heart some today about my home. It doesn't necessarily have to be a dad, it can be a mom as well, a grandpa, grandma. And by God's grace, I'm going to take some steps of spiritual growth, wherever that may be in my home, so that by His help, our children and grandchildren will come to know the Lord and be faithful, godly Christians, not worldly Christians. You say, Pastor, that's my need today. Would you pray that God would help me to be the parent, grandparent I'm supposed to be today? Anyone quiet, lift up their hands there. That's my need. Yes, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. May God help you. Maybe today you'd say, Pastor, my heart's been challenged about missions. I want to be faithful, and I need to renew my efforts in supporting and praying for sending letters to my missionaries, our missionaries, so that we can help them be faithful to the Lord in their work. Maybe today that's you'd say, that's my need, Pastor. My heart's been challenged there. Would you pray for me that I would be faithful in supporting our missionaries? Yes, amen. Yes, several hands, yes. Is there one today that say, Pastor, I'm wondering if God is calling me to the mission field, to one day serve Him full-time with my life in a culture that's not my own, but for the honor of my Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm willing to say, God, I'm willing to go. Now, you understand that that means a lot of work on your part, faithfulness in learning God's Word well so you can communicate rightly. So that's talking about education. Being willing to get maybe some ministry experience on this side of the globe before you go somewhere else. Letting God put you through trials and tests that will hone you to be the best missionary possible the life of a missionary is generally not easy. With all that in mind, you'd still say, but God is working in my heart. And I think God is kind of pointing my direction to serve the Lord faithfully on a foreign field. Can I pray for you right now? Anyone at all would say, that's God's working in my heart and I'm willing. I'm willing to go and serve. Are you here today without Christ? Our missionaries go around the world, sacrifice their livelihood and their lives to tell others about the Lord Jesus. And maybe today you'd say, I need to get saved. I need to know Christ as my Savior. I'm lost on my way to hell, imprisoned by sin, condemned by God. And you'd say, I want to be redeemed today. Is there anyone that would say, Pastor, that's my need today. I want to be saved today. Father, thank you for your word, and I trust that my report was helpful and encouraging. You know what was going in my heart and mind today, and thank you for your word. Give us godly homes. Help us to be faithful in supporting our missionaries. May you, even from our midst, call those that would serve you around the world. And if there's one here today without the Savior, draw them to thyself. It's in your name we pray. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Opportunity for you to respond to what God's doing in your heart. The instruments will quietly play through an invitation hymn. If you need counsel, come catch my hand. But if you want to spend some time with your Lord, please, please come. A moment here at the front steps, kneeling in prayer at the front pew, can be a moment of encouragement for your own heart and a time for you to talk with your God and God to encourage you in your decision. So if God's working your heart, as the instruments play, you come.